Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity by it, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and I'm excited about the book of Ephesians today, especially in light of the reality that you and I, who are born again, are legal heirs of the commonwealth and the promises and the covenants that once and at one time were so alienated from us and we from them. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the gospel, through the cross, through the shedding of the blood of God's only begotten Son, we have been made fellow heirs We are the legal heirs of the kingdom of God. And God has done something so special that he took. You have to remember something in the Bible. I really believe this with all my heart. I mean, everything goes full circle. He reveals the end from the beginning. And so we go back to the very beginning in time. And what did you have on the earth? You had God created man in his own image and his own likeness. You notice that God did not create the Jew. God did not create the Gentile. God did not create anything but man. Man, male and female, mankind was God's original intent. Isn't that amazing? And do you know at the end of this circle, when everything comes back to the beginning, it is going to be man again, but it's a new man. It's one new man that is made up of Jew and Gentile, but the Jew and Gentile came after the fall. After the fall, when God began to move with a covenant with Abraham, circumcised him, you know, and this was the covenant of circumcision, the removing of the foreskin of the males. And this is where, you know, the Hebrew, the Jew, the Israeli, because out came Jacob from Isaac. And then Jacob was given a new name. His name was Israel. And so we have Israel in the name of a man, his sons, his 12 sons from four different women. And these four different women produced 12 offspring. And that became the nation. And we go down this road and Israel, you know, the nation goes into captivity in Egypt. And then because of a covenant that God made with Abraham 430 years earlier, God brings Moses. He leads the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He brings them into their own land. He gives them his law. I mean, it just goes on from there. But the original intent is out of the loins of Abraham that his seed would come. And the promised seed was not according to the flesh, which would have been Isaac, but the real promised seed spoken of in Galatians chapter 3 was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God's only begotten son. But he came out of the loins of the nation of Israel because he was birthed in the womb of a woman named Mary. And, you know, it's an absolute phenomenal, mysterious plan that only God could have dreamed up. And yet it makes such beautiful sense to us. I mean, and here we are 6,000 years down the road since creation, right? Since the fall of Adam and time began. And then, of course, we're 2,000 years down the road from the day that Jesus walked on the earth in the Middle East over in Jerusalem and accomplished something on Calvary's Hill for all mankind forever. There is no other part. There is no plan B. That's the plan, that all who put their faith in Jesus Christ as God's only begotten son and receive the atonement, they are now fellow heirs. And what happens in Christ is there is no longer a Jew or a Gentile, but through Christ, both the Jews and the Gentiles become one new man in the earth. And what is that one new man? It is Christ. There is Adam and there is Christ. I think that's amazing that if we could get this epiphany in our minds, in our hearts, that there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no bond, there is no free, there is no male, there is no female. What God has recreated in Christ Jesus is his creation, mankind. But this man is not the fallen man of Adam. This is the new man, Christ. Adam was the head of the human race, but he fell. Jesus Christ is the head of a new creation race, but he did not fall. And all who come into Christ become a part of that new creation. And we are the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. So we have this magnificent reality that is revealed in the Word of God that you and I now are the very fellow heirs. We have a rightful place in the house of God. We are the dwelling place of God. We are the habitation of God. We have been brought into this magnificent commonwealth of Israel. All the covenants, all the promises made to Israel, given to Abraham, and all those covenant promises are ours. But in Christ Jesus, we have a better covenant with better promises. We have eternal life given to us through the Holy Spirit. And it's an unending reality. But what God is after more than anything, is that whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, when you come into Christ through the cross, you're a new creation. You're born again. You become a new species, a new kind of a man in your nature, in your character, in the mind. And so the blood of the cross washes us from our sins, and we should never have a sin consciousness anymore. And we should be growing up in the new creation of the mind of Christ, the heart of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God. And this is what God is looking for in maturity, in seed form. Sure, if you're born again, you're a brand new babe in Christ, but he's looking for the mature man and woman. But again, this is the mystery that Paul's writing about here, and what a glorious reality that we both, the Jew and the Gentile, through the Spirit, have access to the Father. And I don't believe there's a greater inheritance, there's a greater blessing than access to our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord, somebody. If you have access to the Father right now because of your faith in Jesus Christ, that means you have access to the Father. You don't need your pastor's permission to have access to the Father. You don't need any man's permission. Permission has already been granted for you to go to the throne of your Heavenly Father. Permission has been granted, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're brown, red, yellow. It doesn't matter if you have blue eyes or brown eyes or any other green eyes. So it's the fact of the matter is, according to your faith in God's word, you have access because you have apprehended Christ, who has apprehended you. And that means you could go to him. You can go to your papa, and you could get a big hug from him if that's what you need, acceptance from him, approval from him. You could receive from him his promises, the blessings. You are an heir of God now. You are a child of the King. You are a royal priesthood. Now, you may be a baby, and it says in Galatians 4 that the child, as long as the heir, as long as he's a child, differs not from a servant, but when he grows up, he gets all the inheritance. So God is raising up his kids, but you and I have access to the Father. We have access into this grace, according to Romans 5, wherein we stand. And this is very, very important. And it's been a reality for 2,000 years that only Christ Jesus could have brought into view. But it's very, very important for you and I in the day and age that we live in to recognize, to realize, and to walk in this reality. You and I must begin to think like God's kids. We must not allow our faith to be small and only apprehend a little tiny portion. You have been granted to the fullness of God, that everything that God has promised is available to you, but it could only be apprehended as we grow up into him in all things. And so there's got to be a maturing of the mind. There's got to be a maturing of the heart. There's got to be a pressing in and an apprehending. For violent men take the kingdom by force. Hallelujah. And, you know, have you ever seen a mother dog that's laying on her side and her 7 to 8 puppies are all in there vying for the nipple because they want to be fed? Well, those puppies, they press against one another to get to the nipple. And if you don't push your way in, you kind of sit back. You're not going to get fed. And so in a sense, you and I, by faith, have to press our way into. It is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God, according to the word of the Lord. And so I'm excited about the fact that there's no preeminence to the Jew and there's no preeminence to the Gentile. The only preeminence in the body of Christ is Yeshua himself. He is the head of the body, but we are all members of that body. And we don't look at each other anymore as Jew and Gentile. And I love the way that Paul started that in verse 11. He said, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." That means it was in time past. That's what you were known as, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. So the Jews were the circumcision because they had the covenant of circumcision with Abraham. And so anybody that was not circumcised was a Gentile. They were known as the uncircumcision. But that's what we were in times past. But then it says that at that time, that we were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. You know, that's what it was like. But then he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Wow, for he is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And so I could read this the rest of my life and just grow in the understanding of what is being said here. We have got to lose sight and let go of the paradigm of I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm a Gentile, I'm a Jew. We have got to allow that old paradigm to just blow away. You got to open your hand and you got to let that go. And you need to know that God's work in you is in your eternal spirit. And you are a spirit of light. You are a light being. You are a child of light. You are an heir of God. You are accepted. You are accepted by the Father. You have access to the Father. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. Now, if you don't believe it, if you're too sophisticated and you want to stay in tradition and religion, then you will. But if you, like a child, will apprehend and enter into these covenant promises, my God, the heavens will begin to open over your life. Doors will begin to burst open. Light will begin to shine. Comprehension will come. Understanding will grow. The visions of God will become a reality to you. It is time. It is time for God's people to awaken to the reality. And why is that important right now? Because the earth is about to go through a tough season, folks. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm asking myself, Lord, you said that like a snare, there's a trap coming on the whole world, and everybody that gets caught in it will not be able to escape. So, Lord, what do we do to stay out of that trap? How do we avoid the snare? We know that the world seems to be it's such a diverse place. I mean, there's political issues everywhere about borders, this, that, and the other thing. But, Lord, how do I keep myself out of the snare, and what could I do to help others get out of the snare of man, Adam, Adamic Adam stuff? And the only thing I know is that we must exit the world of Adam. We must exit the world of flesh, and we must have a spiritual migration into the spiritual kingdom of God to lay hold on the spiritual promises of God that will become realities, tangible realities in our own personal lives. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for a tangible resource of heaven, a tangible, something weighty and something with substance. You know, we're growing weary of talking about it, although it's very fun, believe me, to talk about how Moses turned aside to see this great sign of a bush that was burning but wasn't consumed, or to see that in type and shadow of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in a fiery furnace, but they were not consumed. I mean, those are marvelous signs, and we talk about the miracles, and we apply them and say, well, if God did it then, he could do it again. And so we talk about it. We stand at the base of the mountain, and we look up and go, man, I can't imagine what it's like at the top of that mountain. But not until you begin the journey up the mountain will you ever realize what it is like at the top. You could hear other people that went up, and they come down, and they tell you the story. Oh, it was so wonderful. It was amazing. But not until you get to the top of that mountain will you ever experience the glory of God and see things from a different perspective, and neither will I. It is important that we find ourselves as the 144,000 in the book of Revelation 7 and 14. And in chapter 14, the 144,000 are standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb. These are the overcomers. These are the ones that ascended. These are the ones that went up the spiritual mountain of God and are standing at the top as victorious, more than conquerors, always triumphing, sons of God Almighty without gender. And so, what is it going to take for you and I to begin the journey up the mountain? You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 12 that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the place where the spirits of just men are made perfect, the sprinkling of the blood, you know, it just goes on and on. We've come to the mountain, we've approached the mountain, but you've got to go up the mountain. Under the old covenant, the children of Israel went to the mountain of the law, and remember, there were boundaries down below. They were not permitted to go up to the mountain. And that's in Exodus chapter 19. The children of Israel stood afar off. The fearsome presence of God came. The law was given. I mean, it was just an amazing sight. They were terrified. They didn't want to touch it. And God said, anybody that touches this mountain is going to die. But then we're told in the new covenant, but you're not come to that mountain. You've come to Mount Zion. And that word come to literally means you've approached it. So now that we've approached the kingdom of God, the city of God, the mountain of God, now he's saying, come, you have permission. You have access. Begin your journey up the mountain. And everybody knows when you start to climb a mountain, you're going to touch things inside of you that have not been touched. You're going to exercise muscles. You're going to have your lungs in pretty good shape. You're going to have to be determined to make it to the top because there are forces that want to knock you down. And so this is the journey of a Christian, but you need to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the can do on the inside of you to ascend to the top of the mountain. What is this mountain? It is a perspective. It is a heavenly, divine perspective of the kingdom of God. Oh, you know, there are so many people down at the base of the mountain, and they're shouting, oh, the glorious views at the top of the mountain. And they tell you all about the views, but they've never been there themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the church needs right now? It needs to hear from men and women that have ascended to the top of the mountain and can come down to the people and say, it is well worth the journey. It to be taken into the third heaven like the Apostle Paul, to be taken into the throne room of God like the Apostle John, to see the visions of God like the prophet Ezekiel, to go to the throne room like the prophet Isaiah, to hear God speak to you like the prophet of Jeremiah. I mean, all of these witnesses and even Moses going to a bush that was burning but was not consumed, and he went up to the top of the mountain to meet with the Lord in his journey as well. Well, these are the people we want to hear from. We want to hear the people that are ascending to the top of the mountain, not just people that have a knowledge of the Word of God, because this knowledge is awesome and it's inspiring and it builds up our faith and it encourages us to go. But man, when you come back and you have something like the Apostle Paul, who went to the third heaven and he came back and he wrote those epistles, I mean, he was impressioned. He was branded by the kingdom of God. He was never the same again. This life on earth was so morbid to him that his continual pursuit was for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he knew that even the third heaven was not the ultimate reality of heaven. He just got a little portion of it, for goodness sake. And so we have got to be a people that understand that God is calling us up. He not just come to it, not just approach it, but he's saying, come on up, children. And we ask, well, how do we come on up? And I believe it is through prayer. It is through fasting. It is through, you know, all the different parts that God has called us to. And I just want to inspire you with that today. And I've got a few other things here I want to share with you. I want to pray a prayer. I just have this prayer. And it's been written out. I wrote the prayer out. And I want to share it with you now. And if you would pray with me, we could ask God to do some great things. Oh, Father, what halteth thee? Why do you not come swiftly like an eagle to the earth? Why the delay? We are poised. We are ready. We have waited for you to come. We have heard your voice and spoken forth your truth. Why then do we not see your appearing? How have we missed you? We waited for much, but little has come in. We hoped for so much, but have not yet seen that which we have hoped for. You said that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Oh, my God, let not our enemies mock. Let not our adversaries raise up an evil report against us. Let them not say, where is your God? Father, have we missed it? Like John, while he was in prison, he asked if Jesus was the one or was there another to come? He was the prophet of the Most High God who was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. Yet while in prison, he wondered. He doubted within himself if what he had preached was true. Oh, Father, remember Jeremiah. He spoke forth your words of truth to the nation, and he was hung in a pit, so dirty, so filthy was the pit. Send thou the comforter to those who have done thy will, O Lord, even as your disciples of old. even those who were chosen in the beginning after they had served, a storm arose against them. So it is this day, Lord, a storm of wonderment, doubt, and confusion has come against those who have uttered your heart. Rise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. Father, we have ministered your word, and now we wonder, did we minister the right thing? Forgive our doubts and fears, for in truth we do believe what we have heard and seen and have boldly professed those things. Yet a time has come where we are questioning because we are not seeing the fulfillment of those things which we have spoken. We have been called to be a guiding pillar of truth through the midnight hour that is upon our nation and that has come upon the whole earth. We need your light and your truth to guide us, O God. Release your spirit in us. Father, we are your Zion. We are your new Jerusalem. We are the church militant and triumphant. It is through your church that the nations will be governed, and it is through your church that the light and truth can be found. Forgive us if we have sinned against you, O Lord. Forgive us if we have been deceived. This was not our intent. Yet if we have spoken forth your truth, then confirm your word. If this is the third day and the seventh day, then reveal those things that are attached to the day. Bring forth a mighty deliverance and do not allow your servants to be covered with shame, but rather vindicate us, O God. It is not because of our righteousness, O Lord, that we are justified, but because of your own. We are simply your messengers. I am glad that as the seventh angel has begun to sound, that the mysteries of God are being revealed. I am glad that those hidden truths are being found. I am also glad that as the seventh angel sounds, that there is a transfer of nations. You said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ. Is this not what is taking place at this time? Oh God, may your people arise and take the seats of authority in the heavenly places by the strength and might of your spirit. Oh Father, may your church ascend to the heights of the mountain. May light shine forth out of Zion in this hour. May truth go from Jerusalem. Father, we, your sons and your servants, are not angry, but rather confused. Take away our confusion. Let not one word fall to the ground, but let every word you have spoken be fulfilled. We have believed and therefore have spoken. Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother, to the hills from whence cometh our help. We will continue to speak forth your truth in the earth. We will not be overcome by deception, lies, and darkness, nor will we be overcome by sloth, ridicule, and compromise. Father, we will stand by your grace and proclaim to the ends of the earth that this is the day of the Lord. You will fulfill your promises, and your people will arise and enter into the new day. Release us, O God, from every trap, every schism, every bondage, and every stronghold. Release us, O God, from the works of the devil, our own flesh, and the world's systems. Release us, O God, so that we may come forth like those who skip forth like the calves out of the stalls. May your divine power bring deliverance to the Zion of the Lord and to the Jerusalem which is from above. May it not be said of the children of Jerusalem that they have killed their mother. May it not be said that the children who were born in Zion have rebelled against the one who gave birth to her. But let it be said that the mother of us all has been blessed by the sons and daughters she has birthed. Turn the tables, O God. The word of the Lord is in the earth. Soon it shall be fulfilled. That which has been spoken in truth shall be the victor at the end. Arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. Take the dominion and rule the earth. Perform your miracles that no one else could perform. Be highly exalted, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. We pray in the holy name of Jesus for an acceleration, for a shaking, for a moving, for a vibration. Oh, that the sound of heaven will be heard in the earth. Oh, that the voice of Yahweh will be heard in the earth like the voice of many waters. We pray that the heavens would split open and the heavens would vent, that the heavens would release, that the heavens would be ungirded, that the windows and the doors and the gates of heaven would burst open, and the people of God would see into the heavens like into a looking glass, that the visions of God may be seen by the people of God and declared in the earth. Oh God, show us the vision for the moment. Open the heavens that we may see. Even the Apostle Paul, who went into the third heaven and saw, came and told the people, but many did not believe. Oh God, let there be the visions granted for those who do believe, that we may be encouraged by what we see. Oh God, you have revealed many things in the mysteries of your word. Your word has declared many things. Oh God, we have heard, but Lord, let us now see. Let this generation see into the heavens, oh God. Open up your heavens, oh God, that we may see, that we may be comforted, that regardless of the intense persecution, regardless of the intense tribulation, and regardless of the intense fiery trials, that we will have a vision impressed upon our hearts that our faith has opened up, oh God, that we, like Jesus, who hung on the cross, he looked beyond the sufferings to the joy that was before him. Oh God, let your people see. Let there be those men and women that are really going into the heavenly realms, that are getting something for our generation to bring back, to declare. And let there be many mountain climbers in the body of Yeshua in this hour that would say, I have come to the mountain, but now I'm going to ascend to the top of the mountain. I'm going to climb into the spiritual realm of God, where heaven and earth meet. And when you climb up and earth begins to fade away and you go higher into the heavens and there see the eternal realms of God's glory. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is the hour to climb. This is the hour to get up to the high places. For there is destruction coming upon the lowlands of the earth. There is destruction coming to the ways of men in the earth. There is a total destruction, and the people of God must go to the mountains. Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, flee to the mountains. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. You got to get to a higher place. It's not just for goosebumps and pimples and feel good stuff. God is saying, I want you to come up. I want to show you things. Oh, so much has been revealed to us in the book of Revelation because the Apostle John was taken to the top of Zion. Do you remember this? Let me read it to you real quick in Revelation chapter 21. It says in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. John saw it. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then again in verse 10, it says, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Yes, he was taken to a high mountain and he saw the glory of the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, a woman who had made herself ready to be the habitation of Yahweh throughout eternity in his son Yeshua. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we see the glory of God from the mountaintop. We must go to the mountains. We must go to the mountains. We must go up and get a better revelation of what we have in the lowlands. Oh, I know that Moses began on the backside of a desert when he saw that first sign from Yahweh God. He saw that sign in Exodus chapter 3. He says, I'm going to turn aside and see this great sign, this great wonder that a bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. And because he took interest in this sign and went to explore it, then God spoke to him and said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. The moment God saw this man take interest in this sign, God began to speak to him and tell him the things that would come. And he was commissioned to go to Egypt. He was commissioned like Ezekiel was commissioned to go to the rebellious nation. These men that have seen the visions of God were commissioned by God to go and set the captives free and to bring warning to the nations of the earth and to their own people when they had sinned so grievously against the Lord. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it is a time to peer into the mysteries, to the phenomenons. They're coming now, phenomenons. Get ready, for your eyes will see phenomenons. And God is going to begin to bring tangible things into your life. He's going to show you things. Things are going to be there, and you're going to have to explore them. Let me tell you a story. It happened last night. We had a prayer meeting last night for New Wine Ministries, and we gathered together, and the Spirit of the Lord came into our midst, and people began to see things with their eyes of faith, their eyes of understanding were being opened. And there were mantles that were falling, and there were prayers being prayed, and there were unctions, and there were all kinds of activities going on. And we were pressing in, believing that in these next couple of days, we were going to see the heavens opened, and we will, and the heavens would begin to show things. When we left that prayer meeting, I drove down the road of our driveway from our gathering place on the Ark. And there on the road was a peculiar sign, a car parked in the very middle of the driveway. We came upon the scene. I drove up next to it, and there were two women in the car. They had gone through a very rough time. I could tell immediately that there were all kinds of activities of lesbianism, drugs, alcohol. But there they were on our road that is called La Croix, which in French means the cross. Yes, the Ark is on La Croix, the cross. And here are two women that ran out of gas on the road called the cross. And I remember coming up to the side of the car, and they were looking out the window, and I was looking into them, and I began a conversation. And I was just thinking and meditating and praying, what is this? What is this? And the bottom line was, we went back up. We got a gas can. Pastor Michael Villarin and Patricia and I drove to the gas station. We told these two ladies we'd be back, and we came back with the gas, and we poured it in the car, and Tanya came out of the driver's seat, and she stood there, and I looked at her, and I said, Tanya, this is an amazing thing. That amazing thing. Her eyes got really wide. I said, Tanya, we just were having a prayer meeting, and the presence of God was so strong, and we were asking the Lord to do miracles, and we came down, and here you are on our road. Oh, Tanya, do you know how much God loves you? Do you know the love of God for you? And Tanya began to break, and she began to bawl, and she covered her face, and we continued to tell her how God loves you, that He's got a plan for you, and from this night forward, He's going to make a way for you to bring you back to what you know is true. And we saw that, and I got lit up like a fireball, and I knew that the greatest purpose of God for this hour is to win souls. Oh, to see a bonfire of deliverance, to set the captives free and bring them out of the snare of eternal damnation in eternity. Oh, I just know that God is about to do great things. Strange things will be around you. Don't ignore them. They may be insignificant little things, but I tell you that there are going to be tangible things all around you, and God is going to move in a particular way. Do not ignore the things that seem a little scary. I got news for every one of us. When we really begin to see the tangible things of God, whether they be angels or chariots or people on the side of the road who have just run out of gas at the cross. Hallelujah. Yeah, sometimes they're fearful things. It seems a little scary. Do I want to approach that? I don't like the way this person looks. They could harm me. They could hurt me. Ah, knock it off. Go and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm excited about Jesus. I just am. And I'd make no apologies. I make no apologies. It's time to go to the mountains. It's time to go to the mountains. It's time to get up and move on to the mountains. I want to open the telephone lines up here. I'm going to ask if anybody's out there and you have any thoughts about what you're hearing, you want to join me in this celebration. Because I believe it. I believe this with all of my heart. Give me a call. 818-369-0326. Share with the body of Christ what's moving in your heart. Did God just touch any part of your existence at all? Is God stirring you up? You know, it's one person being excited. That's okay. You get a number of people that are getting blessed by the Holy Spirit, getting unctioned by the Holy Spirit, getting anointed by the Holy Spirit. I don't care where we're talking from. We could explode the airwaves and the radio waves, and we could send forth the glory of God, waves of glory. Join me. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on the dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast. Something's changing. Something's shifting. Something's manifesting. There's a tangible anointing coming out of heaven. There's something tangible ready to happen with weight to it and substance to it. It's not just talking about it. It's not just, you know, having epignosis and head knowledge about it. It's about now God's people touching the manifestation of the resources of the kingdom of God, because we are heirs. We have a right to the resources of heaven. And we call them forth and we say to the heavens again, open, open, Ephata, open. I don't know about you. I'm not content living on planet Earth. I'm never going to be happy on this planet. There's not a day that's going to make me a happy man on this planet. Oh, I thank God. I appreciate life here. I will never be content on this earth, ever, ever, ever. Not until the glory of God fills every crevice and crack of the universe will I be a content man. I don't know about you. There is a divine discontentment in me. There's not a good enough day of preaching. There's not enough religion. There's not enough excitement that the world could produce. This world, I will never, ever, ever be content until the glory of Jesus Christ explodes all over this nation and the glory of God covers the earth like the waters cover the seas. Come on, join me in this conversation. I just want to see that bonfire, that explosion, that ignition, that acceleration, all the things we've talked about and prophesied about, let them manifest now. I'm excited about it. Since the lines are awfully quiet out there today, I will take that as a sign that something's happening. So I'm going to talk about what I was sharing in Ephesians about the one new man in the earth. The one new man in the earth. The man of victory is rising in the earth. I have longed for a people who would be united in perfection. Since the onset of my church, I have looked for a people whose love would transcend all earthly and temporal satisfaction, who would willingly depart from the ways of a fallen creature and accept the new nature that I have placed within them and live out from it. I have sown my seed into the earthen vessels of humanity and have long waited for the harvest of righteousness to fill the earth. Understand my heart today. I am looking for quality, not quantity. I have all things. I need nothing in the concept of abundance. The earth is mine in the fullness thereof. Yet what I long for is a people who have been created in my image and likeness to come forth in all the glorious realities of the second man from heaven. My heart is to fellowship with those I have formed a relationship with, yet not the fellowship of a father and a child, but as a father with his son, male and female, the mature ones. I am mustering up the man of war, the man of victory in this day. This man will have success, victory, conquest, and triumph in all he is doing. This is the man that I have determined to refresh in this season. He is the man from above. He is the man of complete and perfect deliverance. He is the overcomer. He is the militant, triumphant church in the earth, dominating all forces of evil, gaining the victory in every contest. In the spirit, this man is seen as my beloved bride. For I am the head of this man. I am the covering, the masculine, the Adam of his existence. In the earth, this man is the head over the old Adam race. In the earth, this man is the dominant force. In the earth, all creation submits and yields. In the earth, all men see this man as the blessed and prosperous one. Yes, all creation is watching to see this man of victory come to power. For this man is the manifestation of the sons of God who have been prepared before the foundations of the world, that in due season would come forth and deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption. Who then is this man of victory? It is the body of my love coming forth as a perfect whole in whom I am in the midst thereof. This man is being revealed out of heaven. He is coming out of the obscurity and is being revealed in Mount Zion. This man is alive in the earth today. He has come to the appointed time wherein all things are being summed up. This man lives in the acceptable year, the year and day of vengeance. He lives in the season of the twinkling of an eye. He is here in the earth, being joined and formed together. Mighty deliverance has been accomplished in him. This man has yielded to all of my purposes and has crucified all internal resistance against my spirit. This man carries a cross, not on a banner, but in his heart. All of his own emotions, thoughts, desires, and will have been put on the cross. And I have poured into him all of my thoughts, desires, emotions, and will. He lives and moves by every breath from my mouth. He is led, guided, and directed perfectly in all situations. All things prosper in his presence. He is the man of victory that is ordained to slay the dragon in the sea. He is the one to whom Leviathan shall bow. He must be most glorious, beautiful, shining with the light of my glory. He is a reflector of all my love and strength. Now I speak to this man, and I say it is time to arise, for the daughters of Jerusalem have not stirred thee before the time, for the time is now. Arise, my man of victory, for I am sending the rains to your land. The preparation time is through. The time to arise in the earth has come to be my ministers, my priests. The time has come to offer the incense of your prayers and to be honored in the earth. My priests shall have no shame. They shall shine as the brightness of the noonday and will have overcome every plot and strategy of the evil one to blemish them and put spots upon them. Yet I say that this man of victory that is alive this day has no spot. No blemish can be found in him. His strength is superior to Samson in his greatest day. Yet without the blemish, he has the faith of Abraham, my friend. Yet without the blemish, he has the wisdom of Solomon, yet without the blemish. He has the anointing of David, yet without the blemish. He is the man sent from heaven, whose head is the Christ. He is the fullness of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. He is in you. And the voice of the Father says to arise, come forth, man of victory. Tread upon the scorpions. Tread upon the serpents. Tread upon the head of all the power of the enemy. Come forth and do what I have ordained you to do in this day. It is the third day. It is the seventh day. It is the day of redemption. It is the day of reformation. It is the day of the Lord. Arise, mighty man of war. Rise and take the dominion. Take the kingdom. Sit up. Take your seat. Rule and reign. Your time being spent on the backside of the mountain is through. It is time for your appearing. Surely you will hear my voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, a miracle just happened, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you're going to believe me or not. I had not read. This is a prophetic word that I wrote years ago. And I just picked it up this morning. I felt an unction to get some of the things I wrote years ago. And again, I'm reading this. I hadn't read it. This is the first time I'm reading it. And here it is. Your time being spent on the backside of the mountain is through. Yesterday, the Lord gave me Exodus 3 when Moses was on the backside of a desert and God called him by a mighty sign and ordained him to go to the Egyptian Empire to call it to its end. Here is the confirmation, the confirming word, the witness of God. We are in something that is very rich, that is flowing great. I'll give you one more opportunity to call into the broadcast. The number is 818-369-0326. If I exhaust every ounce of energy I have today and collapse and go to heaven, it would be well worth it to me. Oh, I hope you're getting it, saints. I hope you're getting what God is doing. This is not about any man. This is with some miraculous stuff the Lord's ready to do. I need you to see it. I need you to get in on it. I need you to embrace it. I need you to grasp it. It's more important than anything. It's more important than anything. There's nothing as important as what is going on in this radio program right now. Nothing. I pray you get it. My enthusiasm has been ignited once again for the things of God and for God's people to get in on it. I want you to be blessed. I want God to do a miraculous things in your life from now until the end. Give me a call if you can, 818-369-0326. We would love to absolutely hear from you today. We're going to take our first call coming in from area code 413. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. excuse me. The tangible that the Spirit of God is speaking of, I just recently, without giving this individual's name, this person got delivered of so many years of bondage, and what the spirit of unforgiveness had just devastated. The Spirit of God moved so beautifully, and to see this individual walking in such a liberty of forgiveness, and her countenance was so incredible. And but as you're talking about the tangible, though, the heavenly tangible, I can't wait for. I mean, it is just like, as you, I've heard you say many times, come on, Jesus, you know. And the tangible things that we're used to year after year on this earth won't even, you can't even hold a candlestick to what we're going to be experiencing with the heavenly tangible, which I believe we apprehend by faith. And I can't wait. I don't know whether to buckle or unbuckle. You know, it's just like, you know, there are times where I hear that when the Spirit of God is moving and I'm like, oh, I need a double buckle, you know.
Woo!
And
come on.
It is so exciting. And when you see, and when I hear the bonfire of deliverance, and what, and this very precious vessel, to see God use this individual, and whosoever will, I mean, he wills for us to be walking in this abundant life of not just, it goes so far beyond the anything physically tangible. It's when you watch somebody live in forgiveness, and they're free. I mean, they're free in their mind, they're free in their body. That is so rich in the spirit, and that's what Christ paid for. You know, and it's so exciting to see somebody walk in that, live in that. You know, so I can't wait for. I just my faith needs to really apprehend. God, you know, just take me beyond the 30, the 60, where I'm in the hundredfold. You know, so.
Just know that God is saying now is the time. You don't have to wait. Just lift up your hands in a receiving position and let God put into your hands the tangible that he has for you. Amen?
Amen. That's awesome.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Thank you.
Hallelujah is right.
All right. Bye-bye. That word from the encourager. Very good. God bless you. And thank you for joining me in faith today. Let's take our next call coming in from the pastor, Ken Wagner. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm blessed as usual. Praise the Lord for the great day we have. You know, Pastor, I can't help but think of what was happening last night at the meeting. And, you know, we have an open heaven laid out before us every minute of every day. We can bombard heaven with our prayers and our petitions, and God will hear it. I know he'll bring our prayers and petitions before the throne, and the Father will listen, and the Father will answer as well. And I thank the Lord that we have that opportunity. And I had a vision years ago where, when I was praying, I heard the Lord say, my purpose is to lift you up and to lift my prayers up, your prayers up, and present you before my Father in heaven. And I never forgot that, and that's something that we all have to remember, that God has an open heaven for each and every one of us, that if we don't take advantage of it, if we don't use it, if we don't bombard heaven literally with our prayers and our petitions and our thanksgivings, it amounts to nothing. So what you're saying this morning is really a condition that we need to develop within each and every one of us to be those petitioners, to listen and enter into those open heavens and enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving and give him all the glory for what he is doing.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful exhortation. Thank you. God bless you. And it is just the truth of the matter. And the petitions, every one of us in our generation, there's an acceleration that's taking place. It's like everything as technology is folding, getting swifter, getting quicker, growing, advancing. Well, so the kingdom of God, there's a revelation that is unfolding in the mind of his people. And it's getting in on what has already been said is possible, but so many people have not experienced it. Well, this is the time of experience. The time is now. It is open, and God is going to do some amazing, wonderful, great things. Pastor Ken, thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing that epiphany and encouraging people to press into the promises of God. God bless you, sir.
Pastor?
Yes.
My husband, I'm sitting next to my husband, and I'm kind of just, my insides are bubbling, so I wasn't able to make the meeting last night. My heart had been bad, and I was sitting here, and I started crying to the Lord. I go, Lord, and it was like he's showing me, like, you don't have to be right there. Just come to me, and I just saw. And in the past, I had glimpses, and he took me up, and I saw his lion face. What I saw was the face of a lion, especially his eye. It was his eye, and he just pierced through me. He was calling. He says, I was going to have the heart of a lion and a strong heart. And so I want to share. I'm so excited as the Lord. I tried myself to reach out and please and do this right and do that right. And as I was going up, I was just dropping everything. Nothing. And God is just pouring in me, his heart of a lion, that boldness that I so wanted. And so I want that excitement that you have, let me tell you, it's bubbling inside me. Like unreal.
Hallelujah. You know, it's so funny. I had a page here I chose today. I'm looking at it right now, and I had titled this message, Bold as Lions. I don't have time to read it right now, but we'll do it tomorrow. I've run out of time, Sister Peggy. God bless you. God bless you and Ken. God bless all of our listeners today. We appreciate you and value you. And just want to say to the Lord, thank you, Father, for this rich moment in time. We ask that great and mighty things will happen in the lives of the people. But listen, we just started this today. Up next is Patricia Joy Xavier with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It's going to be just an ongoing celebration. I pray that you get the blessing today. But I want to leave you, before Patricia comes on the air, with a song. And here's why I chose this song today through the Holy Spirit, because maybe your life has been dry. Maybe you haven't been in that wealthy, wet place in the Spirit of God, that green place, that luscious, anointing place. May this song help you to get there. This is Keith Green.
My eyes are dry. Faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead. For an old heart like mine, soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your
Hello, I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. What an exciting day. God has opened the heavens. Hallelujah. He has brought his power, his love, and his glory is being shed abroad on those hearts who are willing to hear his voice and to be seated with him in heavenly places. That's our position. But it was exciting to hear what God has been doing through Pastor Vincent Xavier and all those who made calls today. What an emotional frenzy of love. That's the only way I know how to describe it. And you know, people of God, the Word of God tells us to encourage one another, to edify one another. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Encourage, edify, lift up. Oh, what a time it is. And it always excites me and makes me feel good. And I am deeply moved to witness Christ's finished work at the cross. This is what we're talking about. We are talking about Christ's finished work at the cross and the mystery of the ages, that God loved fallen man so much, he sent his son while we were still sinners. That's the word of God. That's what he says in Romans 5:8. It is a finished work. And I think we're beginning to see that and understand that. And that is what is making all of what we're hearing in prophetic utterance so exciting. It seems even more priceless now than ever before. And in the natural realm, angels, faithful and unfaithful, are more powerful and more intelligent than human beings. Yet God has mercifully chosen man, not angels, to be the objects of his grace. Hallelujah. It is Christians who are made alive together with Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty with Christ, and allowed to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Allowed. Can you imagine what we have been granted and what we have been given? While conditionally, we do not always deserve such a lofty status, and I think most of us feel that way, and this is what we battle with. But by positional right, we are granted what mere human worthiness could never merit by our own efforts, ever merit. You know, Christians often give lip service to the words of 1 John 4:4, which I love. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In experiencing deliverance, this truth is amplified. We have to get hold of he in us is greater than he who is in the world, which means Satan and his demons. And me experiencing in deliverance, it amplifies this truth, because casting out a demon is only possible because of the resurrection of Christ. It has been granted to us to cast out devils because of the resurrection of Christ. It is the empty tomb that allows us to face incomprehensible evil with certainty of victory and the authority of Christ that has been given to us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. How many times have I said it? And yet, every moment, it must be understood. This is what the open heaven experience is all about, to get us to see our heavenly places in which we are seated in, and what that really means, and the power in which we are seated in, and what that really means. You know, every believer, you and I, who have been victimized by the devil, we need to acknowledge that no matter what failures beset us as believers, the born again Christian is seated at God's right hand. Knowing who you are in Christ is absolutely imperative. We must know who we are in Christ and where we are positioned in his kingdom. It is a spiritual reality. We must get it. That is sure to doom every demon to defeat if we get it, if we comprehend who we are in Christ Jesus, that where we are seated is imperative, because that seating overcame the works of the evil one. It is already accomplished. But what is the problem? Why do we continue to find ourselves in dilemmas, in sickness and disease when it's been paid for, in sin when it has been paid for? What is sin? It's strictly unbelief. And then, of course, it magnifies itself in other areas of our life. And the bitterness which we have engulfed within our being, realizing that it is not right, and covering it over time and time again by our ways of thinking and acting and our drugs, our alcoholism, everything. And, you know, I'm not talking about just street drugs. I'm talking about drugs that kill pain. Not just physical pain, but our emotional pain. Why do we go through these things? These are pharmaceutical drugs that many Christians are taking to help numb them down. Doctors have given it to them. When all along, unconfessed sins that are not repented of will keep us under legal captivity to Satan. That's what it is. And then we have to understand what sin is. Again, it's unbelief. Unbelief to the word of God, that he has taken bondage upon himself that we have carried on the cross, where bitterness is never to be brought within our soul, where anger is never to stand as its rightfulness in our soul, unless it is righteous anger, and then it is never to be thought of when we go to bed and continued working within us. Satan will continue to act upon his legal right. So what am I saying here? In other words, when one who continues in a sinful way, anger, frustration, bitterness of soul, it is in direct agreement with Satan, and he will have his way with that individual, whether it's you, I, or someone we know and love. That reason, the reason is because that individual is remaining in rebellion to the authority of Almighty God. What we're to do is say, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity, my bitterness, my anger. I didn't cover it up and try to act like I'm okay, I'm all right, and a good Christian, when all along I have bitterness within my soul. When all along I am angry. When all along I am frustrated. We are playing into the hands of the legality of Satan to have his right in us when we do this. Offenses will do it every time. Being offended and being hurt over and over again will do it every time. And unless we grab hold of the cross, we're going to remain there because Satan will have a legal right to buffet us, vex us, enchain us, imprison us. So I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Did he just, our Lord, forgive our sin? Not just our sin. He forgave the guilt of our sin. Folks, when we're embittered, when we're angered over the same situation over and over again, when we have taken in all that frustration and stress, we feel guilty. Why? Because it's sin. That's what we deal with. Shame and guilt of our sin. But the Lord will take it away when we confess it and not cover it up. When we will not cover up our iniquity. That means the continuous work of sin in our life that we go on and on and on with our mouths, and we won't, with our heart, with our attitude, and we won't stop. The offense grabs hold. Do you know what trouble we're in? What man is in? What causes him to act the way he does when he does, and he knows he's wrong in doing so, but he doesn't stop? Paul the Apostle says, I don't stop with what is happening within me. I'm paraphrasing. My sin, it follows me around and about. My flesh won't let me go. Why do we feel that way? What is the trouble? We're guilty. That's what the trouble is. It is guilt. Do you know why man suffers as a result of sin? No matter how hard he tries to be a free thinker, no matter how hard she tries to be a free thinker, without the accountability to the Word of God, we are guilty. And because of ignorance and failure to seek instructions from God, we fail and suffer from our guilt. And it is our guilt of sin. We become in agreement with Satan. And then, of course, Satan attacks legally because of people's sin, and then bringing death to the spirit of the individual, confusion to our mind, and infliction to our body. But Jesus Christ went to the cross to take away our guilt. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you don't feel guilty when it's obvious. Your actions show it. Don't tell me that you're a lover of God. Actions show differently? Guilt is holding you in prison because you know you are in bitterness. You know you are angry. You know you are offended. You know you are frustrated. And that is sin, and you haven't given it up to the Lord to work it in your life. Give it up, folks. We must all give it up. Yes, we have a right to be angry at times. Very few, but at times, called righteous anger. Don't have a right to hold it within when we go to bed at night. Yes, somebody's offended you and it hurts, but we must forgive that person when we go to bed at night, because that's the open opportunity for the enemy to come in with fault finding, guilt and shame, and then your dreams become horrific. They start bearing down on you. Your sleep becomes so restless, and you do not wake up fresh and alive. We must begin to get a clue. I think it's about time. Open heaven will show us these things. Reveal to us the resurrected Christ and the resurrection of our own spirit, body, and mind. The out-resurrection is what it's called. The resurrection of spirit. Living in the heavenly realm, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, seated with Christ in the heavens. Everyone has been guilty. Every one of us has suffered from our guilt and shame because of sin. We may not recognize that's the reason, but that is the reason. The Word of God is truth, and it tells us that. We all know that guilt is tormenting. It's a tormenting factor in our lives. And you know what else it does? It brings a great deal of fear. Fear brings the torment in our lives. The Bible tells us so. Fear brings torment. Now, if we look at it clearly, to the degree that you give up your sin is to the same degree to which you will receive freedom from bondage. And I've mentioned what this sin is. Release your bitterness. Put it to the cross and the feet of Jesus Christ. Release your deep-rooted anger of rejection and offense and give it to Christ. Release your anger that is subconsciously binding you. And it's there no matter how you try to cover it up. And give it to Christ. Say, I will not entertain it anymore. I want deliverance. You see, the spirit of guilt wants to remain in what it claims as its house. And if you are holding grudges, unforgiveness in your heart, he can claim you as his house. Why? Why can he do that? Because the demon has a legal right through sin to remain. Furthermore, let's go on. Guilt is the outcome of unconfessed sin. And then when that happens, of course, sickness and disease are the outcome of sin manifested through guilt. Are we beginning to understand the works of the enemy in our life? You know, you may try to cover guilt through various fleshy ways and means. You can do it, as I said earlier, through drugs. You can do it through alcohol and other human diversions, like I want to do this, I want to go there, let me have a wonderful time of vacation. It's diversion. It's trying to get away from the truth of your guilt if you have not dealt with it. But no matter how you try, through drugs and alcohol and human diversion, always remain. Now, how do we get rid of it? How do we get rid of this fear and torment? It is a tormentor. Well, I just read in Psalms to you what to do. Confess your sins to the one who can forgive them, the precious one, Almighty God, who made it possible for you to walk free. Free in spirit, free in mind, free in body. That you may know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you would read Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, you would know how to stay free, how to move in these avenues and get set free, and then stay free. You would also learn by the reading of Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, how to set others free, how to become a minister of deliverance and set others free from bondage. How can you get the book? Go to Amazon, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and order the book. That's how you can do it. Or you can send $20 as a gift to this ministry. Send your gift of $20. And in return, I will give you the book. It will be free, a gift from my heart to you, because you cared enough to help this ministry and the Omega radio station in which God has given us. You have helped then to reach every nation on this earth with this truth. And Jesus said the time is short. How long are we going to wait and tarry? God has good news about the kingdom, and this is kingdom teaching. It is the full message of salvation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Seek ye first is what he said. The kingdom of God. This is kingdom teaching. It is establishing the kingdom of God on earth as we sit and are seated in heavenly places in with Christ Jesus. We are operating in the kingdom and helping the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven by bringing this kingdom information of deliverance to the multitudes of people that are listening to this program all over the world. It'll motivate everyone. I am trying to encourage you to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. When you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you are above and beyond the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's been overcome already. But you have to bring this kingdom teaching to others, where they too will establish the kingdom within them. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come within you, within me. Jesus said, thy kingdom is within. My kingdom is within. So for a donation of only $20, and it could be more if you desire to do that, to help this work get accomplished all over the world. We have listeners over the world that are listening. I will send you my book as a gift, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And it will help you to break the strongholds in your own life. And it will help you to come against the power of the devil in your own life and in others, because it'll teach you how. It'll be an exceptional gift in return for your gift. I'm hoping you'll hear me. From everything that has been said, you may, all we need to do is ask for forgiveness. Why would anyone need deliverance from devils? Would not the devils flee in the presence of repentance? There's an answer. The Lord gave me an answer. The answer is that although it is true that forgiveness from sin brings supernatural relief and peace to you and I, the believer, we must take action and repent. In other words, it needs to be a complete turning around, not just words spoken. It is not what you say, it's what you do. There must be a complete turning around in your soul, in your heart, in your mind. Then deliverance from evil spirits is sometimes a necessary action and should be seriously considered and gratefully welcomed to you and I. Don't take this lightly. But if it is a necessary action to take because you haven't completely turned away from your ways that you know are wrong, who's at fault? You give an open door, legal right to the enemy. And you and I are at fault. Even when we cannot stand in faith when the Lord tells us that we should. Even when we won't believe when the Lord tells us that unbelief is a sin in itself through his word. Therefore, deliverance from evil spirits is sometimes necessary, a necessary action, and should be seriously considered and gratefully welcomed. I'm glad you're listening. I see that you are. And thank you for the blessings. We received blessings from listening to the radio program at P.O. Box 100. Pastor Vincent Xavier in Arkansas 72722. Blessings have come. And thank you so much for listening and hearing and doing. God will abundantly bless you for your actions. And many others are going to be blessed because of you. Have a wonderful day. Until tomorrow.